What's up, NBA fans? Welcome to the second part of our NBA trade deadline marathon podcast version. You know, we talked about the Eastern Conference on the first part of the NBA outlet. Now we're going to talk about the Western Conference. Back with me, just like before, Corey Waldron. And as a reminder, you can always listen to the outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, and OTGBasketball.com. But let's just dive right into it, Corey. Start with the Southwest. First team, Houston Rockets. Not a ton on the trade deadline this year. Last year, a lot of talk. Now they're just kind of gauging the market for Ryan Anderson, probably for the summer, looking at smaller deals. What are your thoughts on Ryan Anderson and the Rockets? Are the Rockets going to do anything or no?
You know, they were one of the early teams that were connected to Tyreke Evans. Obviously, they're no longer really in the running. I'm sure the asking price is too high with what they would want to give up, since as we know, they are contenders. Shopping Ryan Anderson, like you said, you mentioned this off the pod before the Eastern Conference one, you said that it's got to be for interest in the offseason, seeing who would take him on, what they could get for him. And I agree. I'm right there with you. I don't see any team at this deadline in particular saying we need Ryan Anderson on our team or being willing to give up anything of value for Ryan Anderson. But who knows? Crazier things have happened. Daryl Morey has been fantastic as a GM over there. He's made some great moves over his time, getting Lou Williams last year, for example. I could definitely see them making a smaller move, perhaps, if they really wanted to bolster something. But they've gotten great contributions from everybody on that roster so far.
Yeah, I almost don't want them to mess with anything. I just say leave the team, let it go out, gauge your value for Ryan Anderson, see what's up with that. Maybe see if there's some buyout guys you can attract, because, you know, a lot of these guys, maybe they don't like Golden State. Maybe they want to take Golden State off. In my opinion, I think your opinion as well, Houston has the best chance to do that. So I kind of want to see this team stay together. And what? Ryan Anderson is going to give you more on this team than what you would get back in terms of helping you beat the Warriors. So I think the Rockets should probably just stay put. Moving on to another Texas team, the San Antonio Spurs. And we pretty much know nothing about them because they keep everything on the DL. Obviously, there was speculation that Kawhi's not happy. They'll move him. That was just a joke. One name I heard somebody mention, I think it was Matt Chin, maybe mentioned to me off air on the previous pod. I heard it on another podcast as well. Would they have interest in somebody like Spencer Dinwiddie?
Well, you know, Spencer does fit that kind of next man up, unselfish attitude that the San Antonio Spurs are known for. We know Tony Parker is near the end. He's already been reduced to a backup role. Dejon Murray looks really good in flashes. Offensively, though, his game is just not there yet. He's still got some ways to develop. So a guy like Dinwiddie really could kind of ease a transition into a Murray starting point guard period for the Spurs. But the Spurs keep everything very in-house. We don't really know what they're thinking. They seem to make a small addition at every trade deadline. Nothing that is earth-shattering, but they're one of the teams, actually, that tends to look for buyout players. Like, if Greg Monroe had stayed out on the market too long, the Spurs would have picked him up. I had no doubt in my mind.
Another interesting combo I think they would maybe pick up, maybe Marco Bellinelli or Ersan Ilyasova. Bellinelli's already played in San Antonio. They seem like Spurs type of guys, or they could even get more out of them. Like we said, Spurs keep everything really quiet. We don't know much about them at all. Moving on to New Orleans, they already made their pretty much big trade, picking up Mirotic, you know, so there'd be another team looking for buyout guys. They still are active, but I just don't really see the assets they have to move at this point.
No, they were really hoping for Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
I'm looking into the bird rights by Preston Ellis, another guy from the OTG podcast, yesterday. And it was before the Mirotic trade and before Monroe signed. Or the Mirotic trade happened before Monroe signed with Boston. And they were all saying, like, Monroe's got to come here. He's going to come here probably. And it didn't happen because he has no ties. It didn't happen. And that was kind of their last chess piece to get. Like you said, there's not much they can do to change up this roster. They're pretty much tied in with what they got. And, you know, the one issue with them is, too, they just don't have a lot of shooting. You know, you have to hope for a buyout of a three-point guy. I don't know any wing or three-point shooter that's going to get bought out that's going to make a significant impact for a team like the Pelicans.
Yeah, definitely a lot of different variables for them. And they're just trying to hope to get into the playoffs and try to have a competitive series. Obviously, with Cousins going down, it was really tough for their season.
They are getting Solomon Hill back, though. I believe he's going to be coming back after the All-Star break, which is a defensive help, but, again, he's offensively not a consistent shooter.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's see what happens with them. Moving on to Memphis, they have some big questions. Obviously, their season has not gone as they've liked. They haven't even hit 20 wins yet. Conley's out for the year. Marcus Sol's a name that they people are saying is not on the market, but it would make 100 times sense for him to be on the market. What are your thoughts on Gasol in the Memphis situation?
If you can get an offer, if you can get Nick, if you can get an offer where you're getting a subpar to slightly above average deal, I take it. Marcus Sol is older. His contract is big. He's going to become obsolete by the end of that contract is up, whether that's because of fit or just simple play style, but he's going to be getting older. He's 33 right now. I believe he's 33. By the end of the contract, he'll be 35. I don't know any productive big men or starting big men making that much money at the age of 35 in this age of NBA being good. I just can't see it. Pau Gasol is bigger, but he's not as bulky as a guy like Marc Gasol, which was really going to hurt him in his future. So if you can trade him to like either Cleveland or there's just not very many places for Marc Gasol, but if you can move him, you move him.
Yeah, I think I would move him about Memphis in the situation. What do you bring back, Conley and Gasol next year? And then you have Parsons who plays like 33% of the games. Like, what is the end game for you? Like, this,
you
there's
see,
no end game.
You
go
see
ahead.
Marc Gasol going anywhere, Nick? I just have a question. Do you see any places besides Cleveland?
I mean, I think there's a possibility because Gasol does strike you as a guy that's like, you know, he can really bring a lot to our team in a different way. But also, he hasn't been playing great this year. He's kind of had some effort issues in the whole coaching situation. So, I mean, like, I don't know if anybody wants to give up what Memphis is asking for Gasol, because the fact that they're saying that he's not on the market means to me that they're trying to still hold his value pretty high. So I don't think that he gets moved. I think that, like you said, the Cavs are a possibility, but, like, DeAndre is getting a lot of hype to him, and no hype is around Marc Gasol. So that tells you either two things. Grizzlies aren't definitely not trading, which I don't think is necessarily true. And the other thing is that, you know, Marc Gasol's value just isn't that high at the moment. Like, he just – it's not ascending value. Like you said, in 2019-2020 season, he's going to have a team option for 25.5 mil. Like, that's to a guy that, like, might not be able to start on your team anymore, especially in the fast-paced NBA. And back to the point, like, Grizzlies' end game, even with this core, they're not even good enough to be a top four seed. Similar to the Hornets situation where you just need to rebuild, like things aren't going to work out. There's no end game where you win a championship.
So. I agree. You're looking at slim pickings. Maybe the only thing I can think of is maybe you try and package, like, I'm not sure if they're doing this, but maybe behind the scenes you try and package Tyreke Evans and Marc Gasol, because I think that would be something to more entice certain teams who are contending if they can bring on both those guys. Like maybe the Wizards. Not that they're in the conversation, but let's say they think, well, maybe we can get Marc Gasol and Tyreke Evans.
I think that's actually a really good point, Corey, because they're asking for a first for Evans, and people are already kind of leery to give that up. But if you're like, you know, we're going to give you Gasol and Evans, send us a pretty good first, send us some young players, like that actually might work out.
And if you need to take it, well, like, we'll take a crappy contract. Like, I think,
yeah, they're going to have to take a lot of crap.
Right.
Because Gasol's got a pretty big number. I mean, Tyreek's number's not bad, but not a lot of guys are making 22 mil a year. So Gasol, I think that's not a bad idea. Another guy I could see is JerMichael Green. I hinted at that last podcast. 8 mil this year, 7.8 next year. A solid guy. He doesn't have to be a starter, but he's like a rotational big. And like the rotation there has just been kind of messed up. So I wouldn't be surprised if they moved on from him, because it also took them a really long time to sign him in the offseason.
You're right. I remember when we were doing the – not the preview series, but we were doing whatever we were doing at the point in time. And he was like the last guy to go off the board.
Yeah. And he's a guy I thought was going to get more attention because of his fit with the NBA, and he had a pretty solid season. That's one of the guys I think I mentioned to you is like, there's something we probably don't know about JerMichael Green, that the public doesn't know about JerMichael Green, that's kind of known behind closed doors. So Grizzlies are a team that I think would be smart to be really big sellers right now and just try to get some value, because they do have some decent young pieces. You know, Dylan Brooks has had a pretty good season. Deontay Davis has shown some stuff. Jarrell Martin, like, they have a couple guys that have shown, like, all right, well, like, this guy's pretty good, but they don't have any guys to really, like, build a core around. You know what I mean? Like, they still need to get those young dudes.
You know, I hate saying this, but I don't know the interest, if there is anything that happened, but, like, maybe, like – like the Pelicans or the Cavs going after JerMichael Green. Those are two places who could use a power forward slash center that he is.
Yeah, and he fits against, some of these smaller teams. Like at some point in the future, you have to worry, you have to think about Mike Conley's contract, but then the fact that he's coming off injury, that's going to be extremely hard to move. So a lot of decisions in Memphis and things can get really messy, in my opinion. On to the Mavericks. Mavericks are a team I think I expect to maybe make a move. Wes Matthews been a name that's been in trade talks. They're asking for a first. No way they get a first for him. JJ Barea has been another name. Devin Harris. Nerlens Noel, I think he's a lock to get traded, and I think you could probably get him for a second round pick.
Yeah, Nerlens Noel is definitely gettable for a second round
That's
pick. I agree. There's no value there because he hasn't played, and there's been questions about his work ethic. And when pretty much a second round pick in general, anyways, is you taking a flyer on a player, and Nerlens Noel is a guy you could take a flyer on.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there's a couple moves for Dallas to make is try to move some of these guys. Noel and back to the Eastern Conference pod, we're talking Cavs about a center they could grab for a cheap price. Noel would be a guy you could possibly look at as well, and he has that athletic ability where he can guard more than the five position and the four position. So he's giving you versatility, athleticism, a great roller to the rim. Obviously, Rick Carlisle is a great coach, so there's some disconnect there. The work ethic is kind of messed up. We've always heard things about Noel. So it'll be interesting to see if they do trade him, if anybody's even willing to give up a second round pick, or someone will just take a flyer on him in the offseason.
Yeah, he's probably one of the most intriguing assets that the Mavs have. Because, like you mentioned, Wesley Matthews, if they want a first for him, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's
Not on
too
that
inconsistent,
contract.
and he's too old for me to really care about what he's going to be in the future for a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. Moving on to the Northwest Division, Minnesota Timberwolves. They've been mentioned in a few minor deals. Excuse me. They've been mentioned in a few minor deals. They need bench help. The starters aren't really going to change. Do you see anything happening in Minnesota? Are they going to make another splashy move, or they just don't really have the room or the assets?
I don't think they can. They're a team that needs to. If they could get a guy like Lou Williams over their Jamal Crawford, yes. They're just not in a good place with money. And like guys like Shabazz Muhammad, who's demanding a trade, who just has not been good for them. He's completely fallen out of the rotation. Aaron Brooks is a their backup, well, third string backup point guard. He don't play. Tyus Jones has been good, but they don't have a deep team. For a while, they were making almost all of their starters play 37 to like 44 minutes a game. And come playoff time, you're just going to burn out your team. You can't win with a 7-man rotation. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, they're going to be a team that probably tries to open up a spot for maybe a buyout candidate or something. Like you said, they need some depth. The one positive for the Timberwolves, though, moving into the second, the later portion of the season, is they have a lot of young guys and they're going to get better. But the minutes are scary, especially long term for guys' careers like a Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler, who's deal with Tibbs for two stints. Like these minutes do add up. Look at Joakim Noah. But moving on to
Hey, if maybe Joakim Noah gets bought out,
Don't
it
say it. Don't say it.
pop.
Joakim Noah to the Timberwolves. But OKC, another team kind of around the same level as Minnesota in terms of the standings and what we expect playoff time. They've been active. Roberson obviously went down. Avery Bradley's been a name. Rodney Hood's been a name. Jonathan Simmons has been a name. Where do you think OKC goes? Like, are they going to make another move, or are they just have limited assets and they can't really do anything themselves?
I am almost 85% sure OKC is where Marcus Smart's going to end up.
He played at Oklahoma, I believe. Oklahoma City, right? Or something. Oklahoma State, my mistake.
Oklahoma State. I have a weird feeling that that's where he's going to go. The minute I saw the real GM notification pop up that they had interests, I immediately thought that deal was going to happen. He'll
Just
be.
imagine how annoying facing Westbrook and Smart would be. Like, they just seem like super petty and annoying that would be a headache to deal with for, a full game.
Right, and it would be a team like the Warriors would still probably beat, and but maybe in 5 or 6 games instead of 4 to 5 games. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it goes an extra game. Because I think, I don't know, I like the dynamic that Marcus Smart could bring. I do worry about him being a ball hog on the same time, like on the same time the floor as Westbrook. But Dion Waiters survived, so Marcus Smart should be okay. But I think defensively he'd be a really nice fit. And if you wanted a more unselfish player, then Avery Bradley I think would slide in.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Marcus Smart's fit with them because he would probably do some of the similar things that Roberson did off the ball, just like those smart plays, those screens. He gives you defensive versatility, somebody you can match up against multiple guys. And like you said, he'd just be another headache for a team like Golden State or Houston to deal with. Like we saw what he did against the Rockets in that game that got the Celtics to win, getting those two offensive fouls on James Harden. Like he could easily do that against another team in the playoffs. So Smart okay, brings see, value.
They're also a very hype team. You know, OKC, they kind of feed off high energy. Which yeah. Is why they're good at home. That crowd's electric. You know, they get off on like Westbrook with a big dunk or Paul George with a big shot. And all Marcus Smart does is high energy, which kind of is what the last year's Celtics were. They were a lot of high energy plays that kind of fueled the team. And this year's Celtics team, they're more, you know, unselfish and they just play for each other. And Smart is one of those guys I think plays better when it's all about high energy, kind of like a Lance Stephenson in a comparison.
Yeah, and I think they like you, like I said, he played at Oklahoma State, so I think the fans would really love him. It's interesting what OKC would send back. Maybe it's like somebody like a Terrence Ferguson, a Jeremy Grant. Like I don't know if they're trying to send a pick or sending young guys. OKC is in a weird situation. But moving on to the Nuggets. This is a team who's been kind of sporadic a little bit, hot and cold. Paul Millsap should be back soon. Another team who's tied to Marcus Smart. He's tied to Damari Carroll. They're looking to add either probably a veteran guard to stabilize the offense or just some kind of consistent wing because Wilson Chandler's been rough, and they've just been trying to fill someone to that small forward spot, and you can't really play Gary Harris and Will Barton against big small forwards.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Marcus Smart to Denver personally. We mentioned that briefly on the Eastern one. I just don't think it makes sense for the Nuggets. Although they do need help, Will Barton is very hot and cold at times, but he's been very good this year mostly. Gary Harris, good defender. Jokic, obviously, is one of the better young centers in this league. Getting Paul Millsap back will be like making a trade because they barely had him this season. Jamal Murray, when he is on fire, he is really good. I would like to see this team personally try and fill a replacement for Wilson Chandler. He's just not very good. He's had a couple injuries the last couple of years, which have really hurt him. His offensive game, he's had one good game all year, I think, and it was against the Pacers where he started out the game for like 5 for 7 from the field. But he just hasn't been good. So I think even if Damari Carroll, we mentioned this too, I think Damari Carroll would be perfect on that Nugget squad.
I wouldn't mind that. They have some nice young pieces. They're also going to be looking to get money off the books. Jokic is a free agent at the end of this year. So, or he has a team option for next year. So then they're starting to worry about, you know, when are we going to have to pay him? He's getting paid like 1.5 or 1.6 right now. When that contract goes up and, you know, he hits that max number, it's going to be a big difference. So they're going to try to get rid of some of these bad contracts, maybe like a Darrell Arthur or Kenneth Faried type of guy, just somebody like that where they can get rid of some of this money, open up some cap, and then maybe grab a young player. I think ideally what they'd like to do if they're giving up their first is bring in a solid player like somebody like a Damari Carroll and then sending out one of the young guys maybe and sending out the first and then a bad contract. So they're kind of getting two birds, one stone when they send out a first.
Yeah, I could see that.
Portland's another squad. DeAndre has been tied to them a lot. Joseph Nurkic just hasn't been the guy that they've expected. Obviously, luxury tax, another question mark in Portland. Mo Harkless has been that guy in like a million rumors. Myers Leonard, Aminu, Ed Davis. It seems like pretty much everybody's off the table but like CJ and Dame.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they're trying to move Nurkic. He's fallen out of favor there a little bit.
He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Right, and I know he complains after almost every foul call, and he flops a ton. Like against when they played the Cavs, he faked as if LeBron headbutted him, and LeBron didn't even touch him.
Yes, I remember that.
He annoys the crap out of me. But you know they need help because, like you said, it's Lillard and McCollum, and then it's a roll the dice of who else is there, like and effective on that given night.
Yeah,
another team who could use a wing, anyone who could shoot, another place that Damari Carroll has a lot of places that could use a Damari Carroll. That doesn't make them contenders, but makes them a little bit better than they are.
He fills out the roster. He's a nice complimentary piece to Murray, and he's having a great year in Brooklyn. So I think it's kind of like a lot of people would be like, oh, maybe things in Toronto just really didn't work out that well. So I mean, Portland's like a weird situation too. It's like, where do we go? Where do we go? We're not going to make a trade that we're going to get to the Western Conference Finals, but we also want to make sure we make the playoffs and have a competitive first or second round series. So it's like, how many moves can we make? Do we make that splash move? Do we move CJ for, like, you know, people have mentioned CJ in a pick, CJ for Kevin Love in a pick, or like something along those lines. Like, I don't know. Do they make the splash, or they just kind of stay put and make a minor move?
And you mentioned relationships. You know, I'd be hard McCollum and Hal Lillard be on board. I have a hard time believing that he would be okay with that. I think him and McCollum have a really good relationship. They kind of have that yin and yang between the two of them. You know, unlike John Wall and Bradley Beal, this is a backcourt, I think, that truly loves playing against each other and has a great deal of respect for one another. I would be hard pressed to see Lillard being okay with that.
I think the deal would have to make the Blazers better. Like, Lillard would have to be convinced, like, all right, CJ's my boy, but this actually gives us a chance to, like, make some more moves. So I think that would have to be the case. I think at some point in the future that's something they consider, because I don't know if necessarily always having your two best players in the, you know, the backcourt's like always what always works. You know what I mean? You necessarily need maybe your power forward or your center to be one of your best players too. You don't want to have it all in your backcourt.
Well, I think for them the issue is too, I mean, they got rid of Crab, right? But the contract of Evan Turner is another one that's just not very good.
Yeah.
Evan Turner is getting worse. Defensively, he's still good, but the offensive numbers have really dipped this year in particular.
No three-point shot hurts anybody in the NBA. You know, it's just tough to play offense in the NBA when they're playing off of you like that. Turner's great in that, like, mid-post area, but, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily the best fit with a Dame and CJ. So that roster just has questions in general. On to another team that's kind of, like, wishy-washy. We don't know which way they're going. That's the Utah Jazz. A lot of the reports have stated, like, they want to maximize Gobert's prime. So pretty much anybody's available except Gobert and Mitchell. So I think they could, you know, either try to unload some players to help a team out, or maybe take in some guys that are kind of project players.
Yeah, I definitely see them moving Joe Johnson. He demanded a trade recently.
I think he's bought out probably.
No, you're right. If there isn't a market, or maybe they try and package him with like a Rodney Hood or a Derek Favors. Hood is interesting to me. I do think he gets moved, but I couldn't tell you where. It's one of those guys where he could fit a hole over so many places because he plays defense. And offensively, you know, when he had more minutes, when who was down?
Yeah, I mean, Utah's had injuries in the past where he picked up a lot of minutes and he was like one of their top scorers. So he's had 30-point games. You know, his problem's always just been inconsistency. Like, some games you watch him and you're like, yo, this guy could be the Jazz starting shooting guard for the next, you know, X amount of years. And other games, it's like, you're Rodney Hood. What's up, bro? Like, where you at?
Yeah, very hot or cold.
Yeah.
To the same token, Derek Favors, who's been really good this year, I think he's going to be on the move. You know, if especially because he's expiring, a team could just pick. I mean, even the Bulls. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they went after a guy like Derek Favors, who still is relatively young, right? Isn't he like 27?
Yeah, he came in the league really young. He was drafted by the Nets, part of that Deron Williams trade. Actually, funny you say that. One of our writers, Matt Scher, I believe, put together a piece that was Mirotić for Derek Favors. Obviously, Mirotić was traded, but Favors has been tied to the Bulls. He's a guy. Him and Hood are guys, like you said, are definitely moved. Alec Burks has been mentioned as well. There also was a report that dropped today that Utah had a lot of interest in Avery Bradley. So maybe, like, the report came out that they were trying to maximize Gobert's prime, like, a few weeks ago. Maybe they're actually kind of entering a little bit of a more, like, attention for winning this season, because they've had a really nice stretch since Gobert's come back.
I mean, it's possible because if you get Avery Bradley on that team and you're telling me the forefront is Inglis, Avery Bradley, and Gobert with Donovan Mitchell, who's been not bad at defending, those four right there in particular, that's a really tough defensive unit.
Yeah, they definitely could put the – like, I mean, Avery Bradley never really have a rim protector like Rudy Gobert behind him. Like, that's a game changer. When Gobert erases shots. Like, he comes out of nowhere. He's so long and lanky that if he's not erasing the shot, he's impacting the shot. Like, when he's on the court, you're trying to pull him away from the rim as much as you can. So having a guy like him just kind of changes the game, and then pair him with a defender like Avery Bradley, I mean, that's some good stuff. And I think Bradley's a guy, when he changes location, all of a sudden he's just going to start playing better. There is that off the court stuff with Bradley. I don't know enough of the details to really mention it by headline, but it's something that could be distracting them off the court and making teams wary of trading for him. But moving on to the next division, the Pacific. Not a ton in this front, but Golden State, they've had some interest in maybe Kylo Quinn. There's been talk of them maybe wanting to add some bench depth. Guys have been shaky this season. We mentioned the Joe Harris, Patrick McCaw trade, or I either mentioned that on the Brooklyn Buzz or the NBA outlet. I can't recall right now, too many pods, but I could see them making a smaller move where they're just trying to get some bench depth, nothing other than that.
Yeah, you know, there was that one trade we talked about on the one marathon of the Warriors getting Vince Carter.
Oh, yes.
If they want to get Vince Carter a ring, I'm okay with that. Kylo Quinn would be a nice addition. I think they're going to trade JaVale McGee. It just feels like they're going to – I feel like they want to get, like, a little bit better at the center position. But even still, when it comes to playoff time, they're going to run that death lineup, and it's going to be Warriors basketball.
Oh, Quinn gives them some nice insurance. Like, he gives them a nice little – bench center that they could have that could come in. Like, he's not amazing and he does have bad plays and bad stretches, but he's more consistent than JaVale and you kind of know what you're getting, and he gives you some nice toughness because he's no joke in the paint, and he's not a bad shot blocker for his size.
And you mentioned it before, he's a pretty good playmaker. So if you
yeah,
have
he's a nice passer, a
center who can play make way better than JaVale McGee and Zaza can, you know, that's an element that the Warriors really haven't had at the center position.
Yeah, I mean, Zaza does a pretty good job of making some plays from the top of the post or setting screens and stuff. And, like, Kylo Quinn and his role just makes so much sense. Like, not saying they're going to bench Zaza just because it's worked for so long, but Quinn's a guy that could come in and kind of do similar things, especially if you don't want to play some of the younger guys.
Similar things, be a little bit quicker about it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he's just got a little bit more athleticism, a little bit more pop. He's got a great beard, so that always helps, but... Moving on to the Clippers, DeAndre, Lou Williams, Avery Bradley. You have to even think, like, guys like Tobias Harris could probably be available because there's no guarantee if they want to keep anybody. They're all about future flexibility, in my opinion, right now. And from talks and listening to an array of different podcasts, like I've mentioned on the last pod, it seems like DeAndre Jordan has a ton of value right now because so many teams are trying to get him. Like, he's one guy that has been tied to so many teams consistently for the last few months before and after the Blake trade. So I think, like, the Clippers might come out of the trade deadline as winners. You know, obviously they already had the Blake trade, which kind of helped set them up for the future. Then they're able to get assets for DeAndre. They could really have a nice change of direction this season and did it real quick.
I agree with you. I think the minute the Blake Griffin trade happened, that DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams' time in L.A. was stamped with the, like, soon-to-come move. That was the first – that was the domino to fall that knocked down the other dominoes. I don't think DeAndre Jordan will be there. Like you said, his value is really high right now because there's a bunch of teams who are mid-level contenders who all think DeAndre can put them over the hump if they get him. Whether that's the case or not, you know, there's a handful of teams – who think that's the case. There's a ton of places for Lou Williams currently. Anyone could use a shooting guard like him, who's instant offense, like we mentioned, who's having the best year of his career, could have been an all-star. And then they have smaller pieces, you know. Who knows? Maybe they get lucky. I don't think this is the case, but maybe they get lucky and a team asks about Gallinari and they want to take a flyer on
you're
him.
You're dreaming.
But it's possible. And then they have guys like Wesley Johnson still there. That's a wing who could get some use somewhere else. He's had a decent stretch there. You know,
Kettosich has some interest from other teams, probably, I would think, too, as a playmaker. I think best case scenario for the Clippers, if they're able to walk away from the deadline, you know, they already picked up the first on the Blake trade, and they were able to pick up somehow two more first. If they came out with three first-round picks from all the trades they made going into the offseason, not only do they have young – they have it both ways. Now, they could strike out on LeBron and Paul George in the summer. We have three first-round picks. Who cares? We're going to build young. We got a lot of youth. Oh, we get LeBron. We get Paul George. Oh, we have three first-round picks. We can now trade them and move them whatever way we want. So I think it just gives them a lot of flexibility, and they took a terrible money situation and just flipped it into possibly being a great one. Even if they walk away with just getting one more pick, like say they package DeAndre and Lou, get some young players and one more first, like still going to the year with, you know, two firsts after this, I think is a solid move for them.
No, I agree. It'd be interesting, too, to see if Doc Rivers will be here for all of
I think he's got to be going soon. Yeah, you broke out a little, but it was still there. I think he's still got to. Okay. I think he's got to go. I think he just doesn't fit, and it gives you more flexibility even with free agents. I think you mentioned this on a previous pod. Relationships with Doc Rivers don't always seem to be the best. I think some guys like love him or hate him. So I think that'd be interesting to keep an eye on too.
And he's never been I don't see Doc Rivers at this point in his career, who's already, you know, coached a championship team. He's had close teams with Lob City. I don't know if he really wants to be at an organization, have to build it up from the ground himself. He seems like a guy who likes to have pieces in place.
Yeah, I could see him. And there'll be jobs available. I don't know if anybody's interested in what they want in Doc, but he's always seemed like a pretty popular name. The other team in L.A., the Lakers, just announced, reported today, you know, the Lakers might cool off in the 2018 free agent pursuit and focus more on 2019. What that means, I'm not really sure. Obviously, they already started moving money. They moved Mozgov to earlier this year, and they had a package in with D'Angelo Russell. So that obviously had an impact. Julius Randle's been a name. Jordan Clarkson, but he's been related to the pursuit of free agents. Same thing with Larry Nance. Like, I don't know what this puts them in terms of trades. Is this just a ploy to get some more value for the guys? I'm not really sure. So what do you think with the Lakers?
Well, I saw a tweet, and I want to steal it. Someone said, what is the difference between the Lakers of 2017 going to 2018 compared to 2018 going to 2019? And he goes, nothing, because we're always going to look at free agents the next year. That's the demo. They really do. Every year it's like, oh, this offseason we're going to go after him. And then as it comes closer and closer to that time, they go, we're going after the next class of free agents. This one, not for us. I think they finally awoke to the fact that there's no chance in hell LeBron James comes there. They've seen how Paul George and Russell Westbrook have looked in OKC, and I don't think Paul George is leaving at this point in time. I think he's going to stay in OKC. And DeMarcus Cousins coming off the Achilles injury, they probably don't want to spend max money on him. So all three of their targets in the last, you know, month or so, I think they've watched dwindle out of their grasp. So they're just trying to move on for the future. I still think Jordan Clarkson gets traded. I think maybe they'll take a flyer, though, on Julius Randle. Brook Lopez's contract is expiring. You know, you can re-sign Julius Randle, who's had success playing small ball five, and try and have him play a small ball five and just get a center to play, you know, backup minutes behind him. Clarkson is the one guy, though, I think will be on the move. Maybe to a team like OKC, or even to a team like maybe the Cavs. I know the Cavs have been tied to him as like a backup option if everything falls apart.
Yeah, it's honest. The Lakers is just really hard to gauge. Like, I'm not sure what they're thinking. Like you said, they kind of realize, like, oh shit, we're not going to get LeBron. We're not going to get Paul George. Cousins is injured. Like, we can't sign him. Like, what are we going to do? 2019 has guys that actually might be more likely to leave their teams or have more interest in our squad. We're actually a lot better by then. So, and it's like, I've had a hard time really gauging the value of Randle and Clarkson because, you know, everybody knowing that the Lakers want to get rid of them. You know, that just hurts. Like, when everybody knows what you want to do, it just makes it that much harder to do the move because people are going to hold it above your head. You know, they're going to use it as leverage. And I think the Lakers have lost all leverage. And if they enter the situation and start doing things the right way, it'll definitely help them moving forward with their other pursuits.
Right. I think the one thing, though, with Randle, because he's a restricted free agent, people are going to want to have that over him if they sign him, or if they trade for him. Like, it's just a benefit. If you trade for Randle, you know that you can't lose him in free agency, which I think is something as compared to maybe going after him in free agency where, you know, yeah, you can – the Lakers have to match a max offer if they wanted to keep him, which they probably wouldn't, but you can lose out to someone else. So I just think it's safer for a team to take a bet on Randle now rather than waiting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting – we haven't mentioned on much in this pod. We mentioned on the East one. A lot of teams aren't going to have the money. Like, the money's going to be locked up this year. A lot of guys, unless you're a star player, you're not going to be getting these, you know, max contracts everybody's expecting. So there's just a lot of different variables to consider. That's why I love trading so much. On to the Phoenix Suns. There really hasn't been much of a peep about the Suns. They're always a team that pops up when, like, a big name goes on the table. Like, obviously, the Kyrie trade, Kevin Love back in the day, even Paul George, they were, like, tied to. But nothing really on their front, maybe a low-key move. Anything for you on the Suns?
No, I know that, you know, I have hopes that maybe TJ Warren could get swooped up by the Pacers in one of the OTG's trade deadline marathon pieces that I wrote for Off the Glass. But, you know, I think Greg Monroe was the buyout that they had. You know, I know they're really trying to move guys like Tyson Chandler, but there's just not that big of a market for a guy like Tyson Chandler at this point in his career. So I don't know if they can make any moves, because in reality, if the Suns are going to trade for anybody, it's got to be a draft pick. And I don't know if they're going to get a draft pick for anyone that they would want to trade.
Yeah, the only other thing would be if they trade some of their, like, pretty good young players and package them for a really good young player, but I don't think anybody's going to do that at this point. So Suns not really expecting much from them. Sacramento Kings, they have George Hill, who I think if Cavs can't do anything, I'll pull the trigger on that trade and get George Hill in Cleveland. But maybe some buyout guys with Vince Carter and Z-Bo if they want to leave, but I don't know if that's even the case. Any trades from you in Sacramento?
Sacramento is another one. I know George Hill is a part of the, you know, the big scenario in which he's probably the most likely to be moved. I personally think Zach Randolph will be traded. You know, he's on a very friendly deal right now for the Kings. He's played extremely well this year. You know, I'm not sure what the value could be on Zach Randolph, but there has to be one or two teams out there who could use him. Even if maybe, you know, who, and again, I don't know if this is happening. Let's say maybe he's being packaged along with George Hill to go to Cleveland. Not saying he solves issues for them, but Zach Randolph as like a small ball five isn't the worst thing, because he's played extremely well this year.
Yeah, I think I would say this about Z-Bo, though. He's put up some nice numbers in Sacramento, but it's also been because they've like let him do his thing. And I think that if he's on like a good team, he won't be as effective. But $12 million expiring is not the worst thing ever. He can still give you some toughness, some scoring. He would be a guy I think they might consider buying out, you know, or like you said, maybe try to trade him for some type of pick. Garrett Temple has been a guy who's been mentioned. He's having a pretty good season, like a veteran guard, and he could provide a team with something, and they want to get the young guy some more. Other than that, I just don't know if Sacramento really has any reason to make a trade unless somebody comes with an offer that entices them. Because I think, you know, best thing for them, just kind of sit back. Try to get value for the old guys, but if not, whatever, just let the young dudes develop.
George Hill is the only one they have to move, I think. He's already expressed his
disinterest there.
Right. So I think it's got to be a point to get him out of the locker room. Even though when De'Aaron Fox had the game-winning putback over the Miami Heat, George Hill was right there screaming and yelling, you know, rooting on his teammate. So it's not like he's, like, you know, clocked out and not being a teammate. He's just clocked out because what he expected the Kings to be and what he was promised is not what he got.
Yeah. So, and I think that's like, somewhat of the Kings front office, King coaching, and then also just the Kings not playing that well. And I think George Hill, thinking about it like retrospect, he would just be like, oh, yeah, that was probably just stupid to think the Kings would be good. Like, I don't know why I thought they could compete for a playoff spot.
Sure, the money at first would blind them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the money definitely had an impact, and he wasn't getting the deals he looked for. So, but that wraps it up for the Western Conference. Like I said, before the pod started, Eastern Conference is already done as well. You can listen to that. We do have a couple of trade-specific pods. Brooklyn Buzz has one for the Nets. Celtics Express did one for the Celtics last week. The Bird Calls has one for the Pelicans. Same thing for You to Believe in Magic. One for the Magic. So plenty of trade pods on the OTG network. Make sure you check them out. You can hear Corey and I all over the place. So, and if you have any comments, questions, concerns, let us know on Twitter at OTG Basketball. Also, give us that rating and review on iTunes.
See you later, knuckleheads.
And as always, thank you, Corey, and thank you, everybody, for listening.